sent the postcard. Hallelujah. I'm quite excited, actually. I just want to tell you a story about these two. I was very nice for them, you know, because we were going to worship and I didn't want to upset them at all. But the pastor that they planted the church with in the City Bowl was a guy by the name of Richard Mabry. And Richard and I were quite good buddies. And I used to go to Richard once a week to go and pray with him. And he would come to me once a week and we'd pray together because we were... Can you hear? Oh, okay. I thought you were saying... Oh, you're hot. Oh. And so he had an office in an office block. So, you know, you went into this office block and there was his office. And Richard had some interesting things and he'd always light a candle. We had a candle, we'd pray. We weren't Catholic or anything, we just had a candle. And the candle used to burn. And in the days that we were doing that, it was the early 90s, there was a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. You're too young, but we'll tell you about it, you guys. I'm not being unkind, it's true. Half of them don't know, so, you know. By the way, where are you from? Yeah. Nederland. You're a South African. Hallelujah. I'm not being rude. You're from Holland. It's great. Anyway, so there was a lot of activity of the Spirit. And one of the things that used to happen with people is the joy of the Lord would hit them. And they would just start laughing. And embarrassingly, it happened to me a couple of times. And especially when you wanted to preach, and then you just stand there and laugh, and people think you're out of your mind. And you actually are. Because the Bible says, you know, if it's for the sake of God, we're out of our mind. But for you, we're in our right mind. Anyway, I go to Richard, and the candle's burning, and we have a little chat, and we start praying. And the Spirit of God comes on me, and I start laughing. And Richard takes a cushion that he's got. I'm on the floor now, and puts it over me. And I'm thinking, it's not my time to go, bro. You know, I've still got lots of work to do. And I'm spluttering and laughing, and the more I'm laughing, and the more he's holding the cushion. And eventually I think, well, just let me give up. So I make like I'm almost fainting, and he takes the cushion away. And I gather myself and said, what are you doing, you Wally? You're trying to kill me. He said, no. Last week, I had a person in here, and I was praying for them, and they manifested. Do you know what that means? There was a demonic influence in their life, and they began to manifest, and they began to scream. And he was talking to this demon to try and get rid of it. And while he was in the middle of this exorcism, that's the good word. We don't use that word anymore. We just get rid of devils. And the police broke open the door and burst in on him. And he said, hey, leave me alone. I'm trying to get rid of devils here. And they said, we've been called. We thought there was a murder taking place because this person was screaming and carrying on. And obviously the people in the office block heard the noise and they thought, whoopsie, we better, something's not right there. So he said, I didn't want them breaking in again with you behaving like a ponce, you know, laughing away. So that's why he's trying to kill me. So I was much more subdued after that. But anyway, Richard's with Jesus now. Amazing guy. He was an amazing guy. Anyway, thank you, Dylan, Julian, wives, for inviting me. People always say, it's a real privilege to be with you. At my age, it's a privilege to be anywhere. So I'm very happy to be with you. I really mean that. And I'm going to speak tonight about the Holy Spirit. And I don't give titles, but the title of this is When He Comes. When He Comes. Okay. That went over well. Everybody's excited. And most of the scriptures are found in the Gospel of John, St. John, as they would say. St. Dylan. You know that we are saints. You know that. Yeah, that the Bible calls us saints. We don't have to be embarrassed by that. We just don't call people by that title. Okay, so John chapter 14, let's just pray. Come on, let's just pray. Father, we are grateful to you for your remarkable favor, your kindness in your Son Jesus, the Savior of the world, who came to this planet, lived the perfect life, paid the debt we couldn't pay, called us to himself, delivered us from our iniquities and our sins, put your life by your Spirit inside of us. And you hear us when we pray. You answer our prayers. You provide. You are an amazing, amazing God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we give you honor. We give you praise. We give you glory. Who can compare? Lord, your word says you're incomparable. You're indescribable. And yet we have this honor, this amazing privilege of speaking about you from your word. And Lord, your word says that you live in unapproachable light. And yet, Jesus, you've made a way. We can approach you. We can come into the very throne room of heaven because your word says you went through the heavens to make a new and living way for us. And as we do that tonight, we ask you, won't you speak to our hearts and stir us? Bring times of refreshing to these souls of ours so that we experience you in a fresh way for your glory and for our encouragement. Amen. It's important that the Christian life is life by experience. Now, when pastors say, well, people say, well, of course it's an experience. He's a living God. I mean, if I go and say hello to Dylan, he will either hug me or shake my hand or offer me coffee. I don't know about Heike, but, you know, I mean offering. I mean, she calls me Gramps. I arrived there, she said, Gramps. It's a bit rude, but you can manage. But Christianity is an experiential faith because our God lives. Amen? He's alive. So we can speak to this God, but we speak to him by the Spirit. Okay, in the era of the Old Testament, it was the Father. Then Jesus came and he lived amongst us. And it was the era of Jesus. And now it's the era of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has been misunderstood so much because you have the extreme, let's call them, they are the Kellogg's Christian Center people. And Pastor Albrand looks after them. You know, they're the flakes. They are far to the left. And then you have the others who are so narrow-minded about the Spirit they can look through a keyhole with both eyes. You know, it's really traditional and legalistic. But somewhere in the middle, that's where God wants us to be. Oh, by the way, I just want to introduce this young lady. Her name's Bella Draper. She comes to Weinberg Congregation. She's one of my fan base. She... She was here last week and heard that I'm preaching, so you know, I'm just saying. Okay. And so it's very important that we grasp the work the Holy Spirit does in our lives and acknowledge him. We don't elevate him above Jesus because he doesn't want to be elevated above Jesus. He said, I will take from what is his and make it known to you. He said, I glorify him. So when he comes to us, it helps us glorify him, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is our helper, the one who comes alongside. I don't know why they say that, because he's inside. But anyway, he's the one that comes to help us in our walk with God. It's amazing. You see, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. Then he left. So who came? And Jesus came back in the form of the Spirit. Because you see, we've got a God who is three, but a God who is one. The mystery. I'm not going there because nobody's ever explained that, and nor can I. So in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples. I'm paraphrasing. And he's telling them, guys, listen, my time is short. I'm going to be leaving. I'm going from you. So he starts giving them instructions about what's going to happen in order for them to be able to live the life that we call the Christian life. In order to live it to the full. You know, in John 10:10, he said, I have come that you might have life and have it in all its abundance or fullness. Lots of us don't live in abundance, in the fullness, because we haven't caught what God wants to do with us by the Spirit. And because, as I said, on the left you have the really, it's all the spectacular stuff. I meet a guy now, from 93-4 there was lots of manifestations. Things happened, people fell over and it was weird. People said, how do you do that? I said, I don't do anything. We just look at people, they fall over, you think it's weird. And it was just a move of God. It was unexplainable. Some people tried to explain. It was not like that. You couldn't explain it. God visited his church to wake her, to shake her, to make them realize you need the power and the presence of the Spirit. That's what he did. He shook us up. Now you meet people today. Now it was 93, 4, 5. How many years ago is that? 30? 30. You meet guys there and they've still got the jerks. You think, grow up, bro. You know, I met a guy the other day and he takes my hand. He goes, oh. And he starts pulling me. I said, no, man, stop being like a Wally. They want to try and reenact what was, because it was a time of high anointing. There was, God made us look good in the church, especially the leaders, because things just happened. I tell you, I saw miracles. I saw incredible miracles. There was a couple in our church. She was an Indian couple, and they got married by, you know, whatever, what do you call it when the dad organizes the wife? Arranged. Never happy. The dad came to visit. He's a Hindu by faith. And so he was going to come down. She said, well, if you come, you've got to come to church with me. He said, sure. He came to church. Weird. He was sitting about where you are, Brew. So you might be in the wrong seat tonight. No, you. And halfway through the preach, I don't know, some of the old ex-payers might be there. I said to him, sir, today's your day. And it was a big hall. Halfway down the back, I said, come. Come and meet the Lord. And he got up out of his seat. And as he was walking to the front, he just fell out on the floor. Boom. I don't know. He got up saved. The Spirit of God met him. And he got up saved. Now, how do I do that? You see, there's a side to the reality of God that the church is missing. And if the church can, if the world can explain the church, we've lost it. We're just nice people. We are very nice people. Well, some of us, but we're nice people. But there's an element that the Spirit wants to bring to the church that makes it mysterious. In the early days of the church, after Pentecost, nobody knew what was going to happen next. Nobody knew. You stop speaking in the name of this God of yours. Otherwise, we're going to then stop. They went to a prayer meeting, Acts chapter 4 after that. And the Bible says when they'd finished praying, the place was shaken. Imagine how thrilled Wham would be if you have a prayer meeting and the place shakes and there cracks appear. What happened? Oh, well, we had a prayer meeting. It was like an earthquake. A couple of chapters later, Peter's in jail. Poor old Peter gets woken up. Hey, bro, wake up. Taking you out of here. No, you can't. He said, and his chains just fell off. And an angel took him through locked gates and doors. And the city gate opened and he walked through. That's the power that God wants to bring the church. And the power is available to us. I must check the time. We started very late, didn't we? 20 past, okay. That's the power God wants to bring. So Jesus is walked with his disciples for 3 years. They've witnessed it. They've seen. Every funeral, a non-event. Funeral, oh good, Jesus, there's a funeral. No, it's the guy's alive. Okay, hallelujah, we bring. Every funeral he went to, he brought the guy back to life. There was a non-event. There were no funerals. Jesus just raised them from the dead. The woman with the issue of blood, the blind guy, the deaf guy, all of them. The guy that couldn't walk at the pool of Siloam, they just got healed. Do you know what was happening in the city? that word on the street was this man. And Jesus said, no, I'm the man because I'm God. But I'm leaving now, guys. Oh, thanks a lot. No. I'm leaving, but I'm going to send someone just like me. So the Holy Spirit's not an it. He's God. He's the third person of the Godhead. He's God. I'm going to send someone just like me. And it's going to be better for you because he's not just going to be with you. He's going to be in you. And Thomas said, well, I doubt whether it can be much better than it is now. You're too slow. So they troubled. They really troubled. And in chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus says this to them. It'll come up on the screen. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. In Isaiah chapter 9, 700 years before this event, Isaiah prophesies. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, blah, blah, blah. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. Hello. Yeah, it's being fulfilled. The promise is being fulfilled. Jesus said it. He will send another one, another counselor. So it meant Jesus was also the counselor. And he's the Wonderful Counselor. You want free counsel? Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Then go to your pastor. You can go to him, but go to Jesus. He knows more than us. He's the Wonderful Counselor. He's the Wonderful. You've got to learn to go to him. Draw from him. And that's what Jesus says to them. And he says he'll give you another counselor, the same in verse 26. The counselor is the Holy Spirit. He's the one. Jesus was the counselor. He's going to send one just like him. Now, you've got to understand this. When the Spirit came, he didn't come because Jesus left. He came to complete the work that Jesus had come to do. Do you understand? Because he's God. He came to complete the work on the planet that God had intended for God to do. The Father had a heart for his people. He said, I'll send my son. My son, the son came and gave his life. And Jesus said, I'm going to send one. I'll ask the Father. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the Spirit of God is present with us. When we gather, we shouldn't say, Lord, please, will you be with us? He is with us. We should say, Lord, thank you that you're with us. Help us to be attentive to what you want to say and do tonight. Amen? We plead, oh, come, Holy Spirit. And he's saying to Gabriel, I wish they'd learn. I promised them I'd never leave them and never forsake them. What is their problem? If somebody goes on a trip, Lord, we pray you'll go with them. Oh, I promised never to leave. Pray, Lord, thank you that you're going with them. Do you see what changing our wording as we seek him will change the way we think? Because he's with me. Doesn't matter where I go. Even if I go to ugly places, he doesn't stay at the door. He comes in with me. And as I preached this morning in a little church, I said he's like a referee. He's got a whistle. And when you go off sides, he blows the whistle. He says, Jeffrey, off sides. Oh, Lord, sorry. Jeffrey, bad thought. Jeffrey, don't do that. Don't do that. Because he leads me and he guides me. He leads you and he guides you. And when we're obedient to those little promptings, we grow in the grace of God. Can you say amen? Okay. So the title is When He Comes. This is what Jesus said, John 14, 16. When he comes, he will be with you forever. Till the day you go and get put in a grave or whatever happens and you push up daisies. Until that day, he'll be with you. He'll be with you. That's the promise. When he comes to stay with you, he comes to abide. You know the psalm, I think it's Psalm 91, Psalm 103. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow. He who dwells, not visit, stay there. Stay there. Because he's in you. You don't visit him. You've got him all the time. You with me? So he comes, and he comes to live with you and in you, John 14, 17. Thank you, Rodders, with the white cap. For he comes to live with you and in you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. He is in you. You should say, wow. The God of creation is inside you. He comes to teach us, John 14, 26. He comes, chapter 15, 26 and 27, to testify about Jesus, and he helps us and encourages us to do the same. He comes to what? Testify about Jesus. When the Spirit of God is in us, we want to tell people, not about the Spirit, about Jesus. The Spirit wants to, as it were, take a back seat. He wants Jesus glorified. That's what he's come to do. He comes to convict the world through us. We don't convict the world. He does. You tell people truth, and the Spirit of God takes your words, and he does the convicting. And then you see miracles. You think, how do people actually get saved? Next month, I'm saved 50 years. 50 years ago, I walked into a little room at Every Yawn is a Silent Scream. I just want to say. I'm sorry. You're a visitor. I should never say that. But you are her best. No, your oldest friend. That was not good, Brew. You've been the friend for the longest. So I walked into the back room at a little Baptist church called Westway Bethel Baptist Church in Westring in Port Elizabeth. They called it the vestry, which is a religious name for an office. And I walked in there, and the man said to me, "Did you hear what I said?" I said, "I did." He said, "Do you want to receive Christ?" I said, "I do." And he prayed for him. How did that happen? It's a miracle. That's the biggest miracle that can take place, is God changed the way I thought about life and how I saw life. He will convict the world. And he comes for our good, John 16, 17. He says, it's actually better for you that I'm going away. Now, if I walked with someone like Jesus for 3 years and saw all that he did and put my arm around him and we spoke and we chatted and he was, as he said to his disciples, "I no longer call you servants, I call you my friends." And then he said, "I'm leaving now. But it's going to be better for you." It's a big ask for somebody to say, "Oh, okay, because you said so, it'll be better." But it would be better. He's the comforter. He comes to comfort us in times of need. He doesn't come to make us comfortable. He comes to comfort us in our time of need. You haven't got needs? Don't put up your hand. We've all got needs. All of us. And we need God to comfort us in our time of need. It's amazing. And he's available. He will take from what is Jesus's and make it known to us. He makes known to us. He makes Jesus known to us. John 16, 14. He makes Jesus known. I love this scripture. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. That's what the Spirit will do. Jesus said he will take from what is mine. He will bring glory to me. That's his quest. That's his passion. That Jesus gets glorified. We don't elevate the Holy Spirit out of sync with Jesus. No, he's the one that comes to help us. So in our worship, when we glorify Jesus, you know what happens? The Spirit of God starts manifesting himself. There's a difference. I said it to this man before the meeting. We have the presence of God, and then we have the manifest presence of God. And in our thinking, we think the manifest presence of God. Ooh. That's when he really is here. Well, I've got news for you. He is really here now. It's up to us to learn to acknowledge, to open our hearts, to understand that he's present. Did you come to the meeting rushed? I rushed. I thought it was 5 o'clock. And I was nice and, oh my goodness, then there's traffic here. And so there was a bit of a panic. No, he comes, just relax. I haven't shifted anything. Nothing's wrong in heaven. It's all okay. I'll manage. You can manage with me. He comes to glorify him. Amazing. Jesus, thank you. Because my effort in my strength to glorify Jesus is at best pathetic. It's pathetic. But when the Spirit comes And he reminds me, like we sang, you know, these songs. You think of what Jesus did for us. Whew. And the Spirit takes those words. Then he begins to manifest himself to us because our hearts get gladdened by the truth we sing. Come on now, say amen. I thought that was a good point. All the mysteries, all the things. Okay. And this is not head knowledge. Some people have got so many degrees, they look like a thermometer. They just know so much. But sometimes they don't know Jesus. They know everything about him, but they don't know him. Your degree's going to impress me. We planted a church up in Clarence in the Eastern Free State. And as the guy got there and he started, you know, meeting people, these two ladies who were kind of the bishops of the town. I'm not being rude, but, you know, I mean, it's our town, and who's this guy? So they said, can we get coffee? He said, yes. So they said, look, we just want to ask you, you know, where did you train theologically? And he spluttered, you know, through something, and then he phoned me. He said, Brew, what do I say? What do I say? I said, tell them you've got a B-A-D-D-H-G. I said, it'll impress them. Okay, can I ask you what that means? Yes, it means born again, double dose of the Holy Ghost. So they had coffee, and he said, yeah, I phoned and I've actually got a B-A-D-D-H-G, and this is what they said. They said, oh, wow. You see, knowing stuff doesn't make you wise. Being old doesn't make you wise. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom comes from God. I don't know if they're still there because the church is flourishing and my friend's still got his B-A-D-D-H-G. You see, we must have the same heart as John the Baptist. When John the Baptist said, I must become less, he must become more. I use this analogy, and I'm sweating a little bit, so you'll have to excuse me. But I'm just the instrument God uses. If I pray for Dylan, for example, I reach up my hand and I get from God. I'm just like a drain pipe. I'm nothing. And I get from him who's God Almighty. And he gives me something, perhaps from his words, perhaps prophetically, I don't know. And I pray for Dylan. So it comes down. I'm just the drain pipe. What's the word? The conduit. It's a better word, drain pipe. I wouldn't fit into a drain pipe anyway, would I? Listen, the Bible says outwardly we are wasting away. I said, it's not working for me. I'm joking. Inwardly, I'm being renewed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So I get from God. I'm the conduit. Comes through me, and I pray for this person, and they get the blessing. The blesser is God. The blessing goes to the person being prayed for. What am I? Nothing. Nothing. And I looked up the Greek word for nothing. It says nothing. I'm nothing. And so are we, in a way. But when we come to him, we become all things through the strength that he gives us for the people that we serve. It's amazing. God thought of everything for us dumbies. So you can have lots of degrees, it's fine. Acts 4:13 says they looked at the courage of Peter and John. They looked at the courage of Peter and John and what they were doing, and they were astounded. Peter and John were fishermen. Have you been to Cork Bay when the fishing boats come in and somebody does something wrong on the whatever you call it, the quayside, and they lose a fish and the seal eats it? They change the color of the sky. They can square so well, those guys. It's incredible. And Jesus chose them. But then it says, they noted they'd been with Jesus. They noted they'd been with Jesus. Those are the guys Jesus chose. It's you and I. What was their secret? They knew him. They knew him. Our secret, we must know him. How do we know him? By the Spirit. The Spirit will help us. The Spirit will enable us. You see, I must become less. Less of what? Less proud, less arrogant, less full of myself, all that stuff. That stuff, that's got to go. Because then God fills me with his presence. Now, I'm very dumb when it comes to IT. I know very little about IT. I often delete WhatsApps that I don't intend to, and then I've got to phone the person and say, can you send me that again, please, because I've lost it. I don't just goes. I don't know where it goes to, the cloud, or I don't know. I don't understand that. How can you store stuff in a cloud? What happens when it rains? All my stuff's come down. I don't understand. But cell phones and iPads and they've got batteries. And Christians have spiritual batteries. And we stay charged. But every now and again we've got to go and park off next to the wall and plug ourselves in and switch on the power and get charged. Otherwise we run out of battery. And then we function on our own understanding. And we function in our own strength. And you know what the Bible says? What does the proverb say? But go on, Proverbs 3:5. Don't lean on your own understanding. Who said that? You did? Jeepers, that's so impressive. I didn't realize. Forgive me. Whew, that's good. Don't lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. And we lean a lot on our own understanding because we think we're smart. Now he said, that's got to go. That's got to go. The measure that we have of his life in us has enabled us to do amazing things. As I said, I've seen in my lifetime miracles, amazing miracles, healings, deliverances. Whew, amazing stuff. I could tell you stories. I won't go there. When I think of how much of me he's got, I've got him, but does he have me? I've got him, but does he have me? And the more he gets of me, the more efficient I'll be. Then I'll be deadly. Oh boy, you come to me. Hasta la vista, baby. I'll be back. Because I'm anointed by the Spirit of God. The Almighty God anoints me. Have I got healing in me? Nah. Have you ever healed anybody? No. Have you prayed for people who are sick? Yes. Have they been healed? Yes. How? God does it. I was called one night to a guy. I think I've told the story. He had a hand grenade. His wife phoned me. He said, he's got a hand grenade. I said, don't call the pastor. Call the police. What can I do? She said, well, I need help. I had this young couple having supper with us. I said, look, I've got to go. He said, I'm coming with you. Got in the car. I said, we're the Ghostbusters, brother. Here we go. It's my first effort to try and get rid of a demon. I prayed for that man for an hour. I sweated like I'm sweating now. And the demon spoke to me through him. And the demon said to me, you sweating and I'm staying. And I thought, you cheeky brat. And I realized I don't have the power that I need to get rid of demons. God, you need to help me. Because I'm going to come across demons. And they lie. They come from the father of lies. They lie. And they eat with the same mouth. That's the thing that bothers me. They just lie all the time. Terrible things. Horrible things. And they've deceived the world. And they deceive Christians. Oh, a Christian can't have a demon. We'll talk about it afterwards, but I'll tell you this, a demon can have a Christian. I've seen that before. You've got him, but does he have you? Does he have you? All of you. We need, some downloads take time. You know, you get a download. I don't know how these things work. Then you've got to, my son-in-law does it all for me. He said, jeepers, when did you last update your phone? Why? He said, there's tons of downloads. What's a download? It's working. He said, yeah, but it'll be a lot quicker. Then this will happen, that'll happen. I said, have the phone. And then he fiddled. He said, you can't use it for the next 40 minutes. It's the stuff is being downloaded. I don't know where from. Where does it come from? Download. I mean, I get a download from heaven and I feel it and yes, I've got it. Then my phone lies there. It gets a download, but it's dead. We need downloads from God. And sometimes the downloads we need take time. And time is of the essence for Christians. We don't have time. You've got to make time. Because God wants to download stuff into our beings that will inspire us to become what Jesus wants us to become. Can you say amen? Amen. That's what he's longing for. I've got 5 minutes. I think I am, time-wise. I'm usually quite good. I'm usually like a Baptist, you know, I say lastly and then I lost. Or just to sum up in a nutshell. Jeez, and the nutshell's massive. We don't belong to ourselves. If you belong to Christ, you don't belong to yourself. This is what it says, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You're bought at a price. Therefore, honor God. Now, we always take that as, you know, don't, and we mustn't disrespect God and use our body for things that are unbecoming of us as Christians. But actually what the Apostle Paul's saying, open your flippin' heart, you ugly thing, and get a download of life, the life of God that will change you and change the people you speak to. Because I remember when I first got saved, I was so zealous for God. I gave up all my sport on Sundays and I had professionals come in to talk to me saying, you can't do this. I'm not met Jesus, bro. I'm not going back. Bang, bang, bang. It was wild. But I didn't have power. I didn't have power. I knew this Jesus and I read about the Spirit. And I'd go to my pastor. He's dead now. I can talk about him. He said, just go pray. Yeah. And I'd go back and I'd pray. Then I'd come back and say, no, there must be more. He said, go pray. Oh, my goodness. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I didn't know how to get more. Then it dawned on me one day. Somebody said, listen, you invite the Holy Spirit. He's the one. He's the link. He's the key. He opens things for you. Aha. But how do I do that? Well, you just ask him. So I asked him a lot, but it never happened. Then I got understanding from somebody who had gone before me. They came and sat alongside me and they explained, like I'm explaining to you tonight, there are opportunities for us in God that exceed anything we've ever asked for or even imagined. Not to get a new Ferrari and another big house. No. To be used by him so that he gets glory. Who was the guy that prayed for me? I can't remember. That's what I want. All I want is that when that person gets prayed for, the Spirit of God touches them and changes them and makes them to be more like Jesus. The disciples, this time with Jesus, explaining to them what was going to happen was to try and encourage them because, as I said in the start, they were disturbed, they were troubled, and he's reassuring them. Guys, it's going to be okay. When I look at the church, I think, Jesus, you took a big chance. I'm standing here, I'm looking at you. Jesus, you took a chance. Look at us. And you said we're going to change the world. Are you sure? I'm very sure. Why? I've given you my Spirit. He will take from what is mine and make it known to you. He will convict the world. I remember when I first got saved, I wanted to convict everybody. I spoke to my one friend. I said to him, listen, I've got seriously convicted about... He said, what did you do, bro? I'm using Christianese. I got convicted. He thought that I'd done something wrong by law and got stuck in jail. What happened? I said, no, not that conviction. I got... You know, we speak Christianese. You speak, somebody saying, no, I was troubled in my heart about this God. I've learnt about him. Beautiful, pure, righteous, holy, perfect God who's come to live in me. Oh my goodness. And I'm purpuring around making funny. No, get a life. get a life, because we can change the world. Oh, that went over like a lead balloon. We can change the world because the Spirit of God. Can you give me another 5 minutes? 5 minutes. Woohoo! Yeah, 5 minutes. Chapter 14, verse 19. He uses this expression, you also. He says this, I'll not leave you orphaned, I'll come to you. Before long the world will not see you. Because I live, you also will live. Not this life, you know, this physical life. He's not talking about that. Because I live, you will also live. I'll put my life in you. Sure. I've got the life of God. God's word in our mouth can be as powerful as God's word in his mouth. Now listen to me. Don't misunderstand me. This is the book. It's wonderful that you know the book. You must read the book. Because this is truth. This is an alive book. I read it and it touches my heart. It speaks to me. But I can know this so well and not know the author. I've got to get to know him who it's written about. So people study the book and they get to know the book and they know, you know, they can quote, I don't know, anything. You know, some guys you can ask, where's that, you know, Genesis 23:18. How do you know that? Because I've studied it, bro. But then when you talk to them, you think they know a lot, but they don't know him. The power is missing. The church lacks power. And we try and work up the power. No, no, no. The power is available in the Spirit. We must just become less and he must become more. Oh, it's hard. It's hard. We say, yeah, hallelujah. Yeah. And then we go home and Jesus says to us, okay, this thing, yes, Lord, that you love, yes, Lord, I want you to give it up. I beg your pardon. Get behind me, Satan. It can't be God. He's my father. He wouldn't do that to me. Yes, he would. Because that thing, whatever it is taking the place of what God wants to do in you and through you. Be the conduit. Be the conduit. You also will live. You also will live. He lives with you, will be in you. He will come to you. And then because I live, you also live. The second you will is in 14:20. On that day, you will realize. You will know. You will. How do you get to know that? That I'm in my Father and you are in me and I'm in you. Yes, see, that's all complicated. No, no, no. I'm in him. He's drawn me into his family. I've been grafted in, the Bible says. I've been grafted in. I've become part of the family of God. Through what did I do? All I did was bring my sin and say, God, I'm a useless whatever person. Anybody's car? You don't know your alarm. Oh, it's the new Nissan. It figures. The new Nissan. Yeah, they do that. No, it's, I think it's the alarm at the back. Somebody died. What was I saying? You will realize. You see, God opens our understanding. When I was at school, I learned Psalm 23 off my heart. I learned Psalm 121 off my heart. I learned some passages in Kings off my heart. I even knew the shortest verse in the Bible, which is, how much? Chapter and verse. Oh, that's no good. That's no good. I knew it, but I didn't know why he wept. I didn't know why the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I won't be in want. I didn't know why. I knew it, but I didn't know why. And then the Spirit came, and I got born again, and suddenly I thought, ah, goodness and mercy are like two little dogs that run after me. Yeah, they are little Jack Russells. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Yeah, they are. Goodness and mercy, they're with me. That's how I see it. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I looked up the Greek word for all. It says all. All the days of my life. The third you will is in chapter 15, 26 and 27. He will testify about me and so will you. When the counselor comes, I must send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth you also must testify. Do you know the Bible doesn't tell us to evangelize? That'll shock you. It tells you to be a witness and to give testimony. There's evangelist, there's a gift under the fivefold ministry gifts in Ephesians 4:12. And Philip's daughters were, now Philip was an evangelist and his daughters were prophets, prophetesses, let me say it right. Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses. Here's the key. I can be a good witness or I can be a bad one. And the church hasn't been a good witness to the world because we lack the presence of the Spirit in our hearts when we testify. Oh man, when you've got anointing in you and you talk to people, you can see it. What are you doing? Nothing. I'm drawing from him. I keep drawing from him. I'm downloading. I say to the Lord often, Lord, just download your life into me, please. Just more of your life. I just want more of your life in me. Yeah, I can only have more of his life in me. I'm prepared to get rid of some of mine. I've got a big life. And I want lots of him because I want to fulfill the purposes of God in my generation. I'll stop there. That's the Spirit of God. Oh, we desperately, desperately need him. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray for you. Well, I'm going to pray for you, and if you don't get up, I'll come to you and pray for you, because you all need to be prayed for. And so do I. We all need prayer because we need to be filled with the Spirit. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul said, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And that, now I do know the Greek structure to that particular verse, and my theological friends, where are they, will explain. It says this, keep on being filled. Right? Aren't I good? I mean, I used to be a pineapple farmer's son, now I'm a theologian. Well, that's one thing I know about theology. But that's what it says. You must keep on being filled. It's not a Doris Day thing. You know, you remember Doris Day? Gay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Yes, it is, you ugly thing. It is ours to see. We want more of him. The download of heaven into my life. Now, you know what happens? We get nervous because you think, I'm going to leave here and God's going to put me in a situation that I think, oh my word, how do I do this? Just do it. Be a Nike person. Just do it. Okay, I've done enough. If you want me to pray for you, then look, can I dismiss the meeting? Well, you're in charge. Well, you told me that at the beginning. is there coffee and tea and stuff? Is there coffee and tea? Okay, so I don't want you to all just sit and observe, but if you want prayer, if you think, you know what, I've got stirred today. I think, gee, I can do this for God. If God comes to me, I can be what I really do want to be for God. And you won't reach there immediately. It's a lifelong journey. But hey, you'll take steps and you'll begin to see things that God uses you in. Like you see a guy in the street, don't go for wheelchairs straight away, bro. Okay, just see a guy in the wheelchair and say, listen, bro, I went to church on Sunday night in the name of Jesus. I said, I've had that before. You might not be qualified for that. But if somebody says, I'm really struggling at work, and you know, let me pray for you. Let me give you a little story. I've got lots of cousins, but one of them's in Durban, and he's a bit of a Philistine still. He doesn't know the Lord. And I went to visit him and his wife, and when I was leaving, I just said, I always say this now, I said, can I just pray with you? Not for you, because then they say, pray for me. Ooh. I said, no, just let me pray with you. She said, I don't know what to do. I said, don't worry, I know what to do. So we stood. And he stood here, and she stood there, and they tried to get close. I said, no, not too close, just let's. And I put my hand on him, just, you know, I didn't have the microphone on her. And I just prayed a simple prayer. I said, Father, thank you And as I said, thank you, the power of God hit my cousin. He jerked like that. He said, hey, what's going on here? I said, I don't know. Why? He said, grief, you like electricity came through me. Now, that's the surprise God will give you. I wasn't expecting that. I was just being a nice, good, traditional Christian boy to pray for my cousins. He has never phoned me since then. He's what they call poop scared, and poop's the Greek word for very. And Wayne went and looked it up once, remember? And you said to him, it's actually quite close. But that's what God wants to do. So you can be a blessing to people. At your work, in your street, guy comes, he said, we're really struggling. Can I just pray? Most people will say, yeah, thank you. And you pray and something changes in their situation. What's that being? A witness. You're testifying to this God that you say you serve. So, I've spoken enough. If you want prayer, let me just, do I do the whole benediction?